Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. We have some really good material for our listeners today. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, it is really, really good to see you, my friend. Before we start dissecting the scriptures today for our listeners and trying to be their encouragers, I'd like to give a little announcement to what our listeners might expect next week, Dave. I know you have a very special event that you've been planning for some time, and next week is finally the day. Would you tell your listeners what you have in mind for next week?
Hey, we've come to the week of number 1,300 broadcasts that I've been a part to make. And on the 1,300s, I was looking for somebody special to come to help me. And the only people I could come up with that I thought I haven't used yet in 1,300 broadcasts, what a shame. And that is Dwayne O'Neill. It's Dave Dwayne O'Neill with the Couriers since 1955. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
And we're still, the three of us are still together, still talking to one another, and have a wealth of years together. We're talking about 1,300th broadcast next week. We have under our belt 1,300 here at WPFG. Couriers have 10,000 concerts under their belt.
10,000 concerts.
All three of us have been there on every one of them. It's just amazing how long God has allowed us to do this and where. I mean, we've been around the world with it and encouraging others now to do what we did. So next week, all week, Monday through Sunday, I'm going to bring those guys down here and close them in the little studio here and shut the door and lock it and say, okay, it's all ours and let's go. That'll be fun. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. It's amazing how we can find hours and hours and hours of talking about things in life. We had a pretty good sense of living. We had a pretty good sense of what we were supposed to do for the Lord, and we did it with all of our hearts.
Yes.
We gave it everything that we had. And so tune our way next week. And we're going to be every day at 9:30 in the morning and in the evening. And then our Two Guys with Heart on Tuesday and Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. That's right. The Couriers for 1 week.
Yep.
So don't.
Don't miss it.
Miss it.
You miss a little, you miss a lot. That's right. He's talking about it's still good news today. And Two Guys with Heart. Both of those programs, he's going to feature the Couriers next week. So I would encourage you to write that down on your calendar, and it should be a truly inspirational week of sharing in the Word of God. Those are three very spiritual gentlemen who spent 58 years of their lives working together at 10,000 concerts. My, oh, my. I'm anxious to hear about it myself. Okay, on today's material, Dave, we're going to, I want to pick it up right where you left off yesterday as we were talking about the worldly things that God has to offer for us and how we're going to live our lives with peace and happiness. And the first thing that you were talking about yesterday is how sometimes we get critical of other people. I thought that was a very powerful subject, so I looked at some of my notes, too, and, you know, there's a lot to be said about criticizing other people. You need greater liberties as to the faults of others. I grant you that you cannot help seeing them when they are forced upon you, or you can't avoid inevitable conclusions as the principles in which some seem to act. Neither can you avoid a certain annoyance when such things are caused. Suffice if you try to bear with obvious faults, avoiding judging others, such as the doubtful and resist the dislikes which estrange you from other people. We're all human. We fall into that category. Perfection finds it easy to bear with all the imperfections of others and to be all things to all men. One ought to learn to put up with the most obvious faults in worthy souls and try to leave them alone until God gives the sign of the gradual weeding. Else one is likely to tear up the good grain with the weeds. Often God leaves certain infirmities besetting the most advanced souls, such as might seem quite out of character with their excellence. Well, that means we're human. Just as reclaimed ground men leaves tokens to show how extensive the work of clearing has been, God leaves such tokens to show where he has brought them. In other words, all such souls must labor at self-amending their own rate, and you must labor to endure all the imperfections of other people. Your own experiences will teach you that correction is a bitter thing, and since you know this, give heed so to soften it to others. And it is not your great zeal to correct others for their own sake as much as it is for the perfection which shuts your heart to them. In other words, before you start pointing the fingers at other people, remember how hurtful it can be. The smallest thing, and we talked a lot about that one last week. Remember that, Dave? That we were talking about the smallest thing that we can say can really be so hurtful.
Let me go back to the beginning of my ministry. When we went to Bible college, everything changed. Now we're looking forward to taking subjects that would teach us about the Bible, how we could help people. And on the sidelines, after classes were over, we learned how to go to the music room and learn how to sing. Little did we realize that people were going to be critical of us in school. There got to be a time in our school, the lunch line was 30 minutes long outside the building and wrapped around this and this. If you got in line, and what we did to keep from being bored and mad at that, we had the lunch line song. And we would sing, and everybody would join with us, and we'd sing our way to the moment when you picked up the tray for your food.
Yeah.
After 4 years, we slowly let the information out that we were not going to go take a church. We were going to be full-time singers.
Mm-hmm.
Man, everybody in the school, 1,000 kids, jumped on that. And, you know, what are you trying to do?
Is that right?
And then the vice president and the president really got on the – they came to us and said, look, we're going to get you a church. You're not going to go out there and fool around with music and mess up your life. Come on, guys. And critical. When we got to Pennsylvania, they had never heard of gospel music. And people were critical of us. The churches were critical. You want us to pay you money to come to sing in our church? Are you kidding? That's, you know, in the 50s, that was a toughie. But you can come to our church, but we're not going to give you money for singing.
Yeah.
A few songs in our church.
Yeah.
What kind of a ministry is that? But we proved them all wrong.
And you did it.
We proved them all wrong. We proved the fact that people would come to church again. We began to fill every church until we started inviting the pastor of the church that we were going to on Sunday to come on our broadcast. We'd have him pray or give a testimony and that we were going to be in his church. He told his people, hey, couriers are coming next week, and I'm on their TV program. Don't miss that. Turn on your TV and see your pastor. Well, that got to be when you've been to 100 churches and 100 pastors, and they all brag about themselves and happy that they were there. The critical left, and everybody began to say, there is something good about these guys, what they're doing, and let's support them. Let's jump on their bandwagon. And after half a dozen years, we begin to see a big influx of people who said, let's not be critical of these guys. They are proving to themselves. We jumped in on youth camps. We jumped in on youth conventions. man, we did 20 years of youth camps and conventions when we were kids. We can't do that now. They would never want an 80-year-old man coming to the youth convention. But
you were
in
kids.
The beginning, it was the best thing ever happened to us when people forgot to be critical of what we were doing and to say, you know what, I believe in those guys. And we had thousands of people that finally caught on to say, hey, let's buy their records. Let's put their music in our home and let's teach our children about these guys who started out so small, insignificant, nobodies. And we ended up making a lifetime of that. It was worth it. Don't be afraid to be taking criticism from people. If you got God's will coming in your life, and God tells you to do this, people are going to be critical of it. And if you're listening today and you say, boy, I wanted to do that too, but people are too critical. Spirituality is important. And if you have the message, you can forget the critics. They'll be on the sidelines for sure. And you go ahead in victory.
That's an amazing witness of how God can work in the lives of young people. I think of the three of you guys in colleges making these kinds of decisions that impacted your whole life. And here you are 60 years later, and you're still talking to the same guys about the same thing, and you're all still witnessing for Jesus.
Let me tell you something else, Skip.
Okay.
People were critical when they heard that we were going to start a Christian radio station, WPFG. They'll never make it. That's over. There's no way. And they're going to play that music, that kind of music? Are they kidding? That's long gone. And who's going to support that? Well, we didn't fold our wings and go home. That's we said, right. If we do it right and do it for the Lord and do it from our hearts, God will bless it. And look at our station after 5 years.
Yes.
Come on, Giff.
Yep.
We have proved that the criticism has gone.
Yes.
People are writing letters now and say, we love your music. We love the way you do things. We like this program, and we want this one, and give us more of this. That's amazing what criticism, if you can just push it aside for a few moments, you can do a powerful work in God's vineyard, God's business, big business, and I think the future of WPFG is, when we've been here 50 years,
yeah,
people won't say anymore, that little old station down in Carlisle, are you kidding me? We've become a big station.
Yes, we are.
We've become a station that speaks the truth and prays for people and reaches out toward the community with God's love and with the greatest music that man's ever heard. We have produced it, and I'm anxious to turn the radio on all the time just to hear the kind of music that WPFG is putting out. Fabulous, fabulous. Judy and I remark about it every day. Listen to that song. I sang that 30 years ago and I forgot about it. Wow, what a message.
Yes.
So criticize me if you want to.
No.
But I'm going ahead.
I'm not going to criticize you. No, that's the witness that we're talking about. And that's the love of Christ that comes out in your work when someone really loves what they're doing. And that's what we're trying to share with our listeners. We love what we're doing. We love the fact that they are listening. We are working together. We are teaming with them. And we are going to study these scriptures until it opens our eyes wide enough that we can see the Lord ourselves. Dave, I appreciate your commitment to Cumberland Valley Christian Radio and our listeners and putting the two together. And that's what we're talking about. Almost all of us who aim at serving God do so more or less for their own sake. And we want to win. We don't want to be losers. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be possessive. We do not want to be deprived. We want to increase, not diminish. Yet all of the while, our whole interior progress consists of losing and sacrificing and decreasing and humbling and stripping of everything that God has given to us, that all of our gifts go with it. so as to be more wholly his. We are often like an invalid who feels his pulse 50 times a day and wants the doctors to be perpetually offering some fresh treatment for him, or telling him how much better he is. That's how we try to measure our spiritual progress. Some people make their spiritual director or pastor this way. They move round and round in a pretty circle of easy virtues, never stepping beyond its hardly and generosities, while the director, like a physician, is expected to soothe and comfort and encourage and foster perfectionism, only ordering little sedative treatments which drop into a mere habit of routine. Well, this is the plain proof that they cling too much to mean, overlooking at the end and at their self. Image is the main object, and that's what we have to avoid. Do not promote yourself too soon. People tend to seek to live by pure faith, yet want to retain all of their worldly wisdom, to be as a child, yet great in their own eyes. But what a spiritual mirage that is. Do not try to make yourself anything more than you really are. No one is better than their neighbor. No one can promote themselves to be more godly just because you say so. You have to live it. You have to feel it. And you have to be totally committed to your conversion to Christ. It's not a switch that you can turn on and off. And that's what we're trying to talk about here and trying to promote yourself before the Lord. Don't do that. There's trials and temptations that we all go through. And we all live in the same good old world. So let's not try to be anything that we are not. People find it very hard to believe that God heaps crosses on those who love out of loving kindness. Why should he take pleasure in causing us to suffer? Do we go through trials and tribulations? Could he not make us good without making us miserable? Yes, doubtless God could do so. For to him all things are possible. He is an all-powerful hand, and he holds the hearts of men as they turn as he pleases. But through God, though God could save us without these crosses that we face, he has no willingness to do so. Just as he has willed that men should grow up through the weaknesses and troubles of childhood, instead of being born fully developed men. We're not 30 years old when we're born. He is the master. We can only be silent and adore his infinity wisdom without fully understanding it. Such a life of faith is necessary not only to mold the good by causing us to sacrifice our own reasonable amid this world of darkness that we live in, but also to blind those who presume to mislead us. Such men behold God's word without comprehending them and take them to be simply a natural cause of life. They are without true understanding, since this is the only given to those who mistrust their own judgment and the profound wisdom of man. So it is to ensure that the operation of grace may remain a mystery of faith that God permits to be slow and painful. He allows it to happen. God makes use of the inconsistencies and the ingratitude of men, the disappointments, the failures which attend human prosperity, to detach us from the created world and all these good things. He opens our eyes by letting us realize our own weaknesses and the evil in this countless falls that we tend to step towards. It all seems to go on in the natural course of our life, and the series of apparently natural causes consume us like a slow fire. We would much rather be consumed at once by the flame of pure love, so the speedy process would cost us nothing. It is utter, let's call it selfishness, that we desire to obtain perfection so cheaply and so quickly. Unfortunately, it just doesn't always work that way. It doesn't come easy, but the Lord wants to see us grow, and the Lord wants us to be spiritually stronger. So those trials and tribulations that we all face, that's a part of life. Could God help us to avoid those? Yep, he could. God could do anything. But that's what makes us stronger. The worldly shortcomings that we face, the worldly difficulties, the problems, and let's face it, Dave, every single one of us are in some degree of pain almost continuously. It's just a matter of what degree of pain you're in at this particular moment. We've all experienced it. We've all had life's difficulties. We've all been sick once upon a time. We've all lost loved ones once upon a time. We've all had shortcomings that we're ashamed to admit that we had to overcome once upon a time. We're all in the same boat. Could God have pointed us in another direction? There's no doubt in my mind that the Lord could have, in fact, helped us through some difficult times. But that's part of our nurturing. It's like he says in being a child. You have to grow. You have to grow. And you have to make mistakes to learn from them. And that's why you're not born 30 years old. Yeah, you have to go through the childhood and learn the hard way. And it just never seems to end. Life goes on, and you have to make the very best of it. Since that real conversion, live closer to the Lord every day that you possibly can. David, I would imagine through your years of the ministry and standing in the pulpit, you've had many opportunities to try to share with people that God does unusual things to good people, and he allows hurtful things to happen. Do you have any words you'd like to share with our listeners today on that kind of subject?
Well, people are always anxious about the future. They got to realize that the future is in God's hands.
That's right.
Not ours. God will rule it according to your need. But if you seek to forecast it in your own wisdom, you will gain nothing but anxiety and trouble. Try only to make use of each day. Each day brings its own good and its evil. And sometimes what seems evil becomes good if we leave it to God and do not use impatience with the way God does things. Be sure that God will grant you whatever time you need to reach him. He may not give you as much as you would like for your own plans or to please yourself under the seeking of spiritual perfection. All other time is lost, however, and maybe spent probably very, very well. You'll always find freedom in God so long as you do not give away to the false idea that you have lost your freedom. Time is slipping away.
Yes, it is, Dave. Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing your innermost thoughts of that. You really know how to tie these things together. Your years in the pulpit comes true. But once again, we have to say goodbye. Our listeners have been so faithful, and we hope that we've shared some encouraging words from you, from the Bible and from our hearts, that will help you lead you through your week. Remember to pay particular credence to next week, as Dave is going to be bringing forth to you some of his life's experiences with the carriers. That's two programs next week. It's Still Good News today and Two Guys with Heart. You're going to hear Neil and Dwayne and Dave together as the carrier. So be sure to tune in. For right now, Giff Briner here saying, hey, bye-bye. See you soon.
And Dave Colonin, I look forward to the couriers coming to say something next week. That ought to be an incredible moment. And you'll be sorry if you miss it. See you then. Bye-bye.